Evan Burns and Guy Berliner, welcome to KABU.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Bill.
Evan Burns is a school principal in downtown Portland. Guy Berliner is by day a software programmer, and in the rest of the time a community activist with Portland Tenants United and other social justice organizations, as well as the Brooklyn Neighborhood Association. Both are very active and in clean air struggles, and particularly in stopping diesel pollution that is particularly dangerous in very high concentrations in our allegedly green city of Portland, Oregon. They are now organizing for a town hall this Wednesday addressing diesel pollution, inviting the whole city and universe to their town hall. Devin, tell us about Portland Clean Air Coalition that you're very active in and your town hall.
Well, Portland Clean Air is a nonprofit organization really serving to collect science and provide data in order to empower citizens throughout the city to take action on air pollution issues. I got involved with the organization as a principal of a school serving special needs kids considered by the EPA to be sensitive receptors. We were downwind from a big polluter, a couple of oil re-refineries. Getting involved, I was really shocked to learn just how bad the air here in Portland is. We have this idea that we live in this pristine, green, privileged city of breathing green air, clean air, and all the green spaces that we have. And when I started really looking at the data and learning the science, that in fact Portland has the worst air in the nation in terms of people suffering from respiratory distress from air pollution, and we are among between the second and fifth percent, depending on neighborhoods, in how high our diesel particulate pollution is compared to the rest of the nation, I was shocked and disgusted and motivated to get involved. So I work with Portland Clean Air to help collaborate and coordinate communication between 12 different neighborhood associations in North and Northeast. There's several volunteers playing this role, coordinating more than 30 neighborhood associations throughout Portland with a reach to over 50,000 residents, really focused on this sole issue of helping us all breathe easier.
Guy Berliner, you've developed a tremendous amount of knowledge about diesel pollution, that fascinating and,
yes.
And inspiring subject.
Correct.
Tell us about what's happening in Portland.
Yeah, I was shocked also to learn that the problem is as serious as it is. The neighborhood that I live in, Brooklyn, is affected by the UP rail yards in particular and the trains there that idle 24/7. But we also have a lot of short-haul trucks, and most of them, the great majority of them, have no modern emissions controls. Now, we know that this problem has been around for a while, but it's compounded by the fact that neighboring states like California and Washington have been a lot more proactive in dealing with it. So, for example, in California, already in 2015, by law, they phased out all older, more polluting diesel trucks. And as a consequence, unfortunately, Oregon is now a dumping grounds for their dirty diesel equipment that we can't operate here anymore.
And tell us about diesel, why it's so dangerous. I had no idea how dangerous diesel pollution was in the whole picture. There's a lot of air pollution anyway.
Yep.
People are breathing noxious stuff. But
that's
diesel
right.
Is so deadly.
Well, you're right, Bill. The problem, I think, with diesel is that more than anything, it's omnipresent. There's probably pollutants out there that are more acute dangers very close to people who are breathing them, but there's nothing that is as omnipresent and contains as many dangerous toxins that we're all getting exposed to as diesel. If you're anywhere within a few hundred feet of a major arterial freeway and so on, you're getting exposed to dangerous levels of diesel in our metro area. Not to mention if you're anywhere near a construction site. Construction sites tend to have equipment that produces diesel emissions absolutely off the charts. And so it's an enormous problem. And the diesel particulates are so tiny that they bypass your alveoli, they pass straight into your bloodstream, they're carried to all your vital organs. And so, you know, we've got an article just came out a week ago, a lead article in the Washington Post, that implicates diesel heavily in incidents of dementia. And they're estimating a cost annually to our economy in terms of dementia care of something on the order of $300 billion. So this is a cost that's being imposed on our society every year, and diesel is the leading factor that we know of, environmental factor, that seems to be responsible, heavily implicated in causing dementia in older adults.
This is Bill Resnick for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm talking to Bevan Barron and Guy Berliner, who are citizen activists. They're doing a town hall this Wednesday, September 26th at 7 p.m., I guess, at the
Sacred Heart Church, 3910 Southeast 11th Avenue in the Brooklyn neighborhood.
Right. They're doing a town hall organizing. It's being sponsored by Portland Clean Air Coalition, but also all of the neighborhood, many of the neighborhood associations.
Yeah, in fact, Bill, it was the initiative of the neighborhood associations by themselves to do this, and Portland Clean Air has helped us with developing outreach and so on, but it was really our initiative and our decision to bring together people from all over the city to this neighborhood and this meeting, where we're going to have a panel of electeds and candidates for office, and we hope that this is an opportunity to corner them and ask them, what are they going to do about this problem before the elections that are upcoming?
It seems to me that both the EPA at the national level and the DEQ in the state, and in fact our whole apparatus, has been misleading us with numbers that don't really tell the story.
I think you're right, Bill. I think that the DEQ seems to have a modus operandi of demobilizing and disarming the public, and we see that repeatedly. It's a repeated pattern. You know, we see that in their handling of the giant Cully tire fire that they terribly fumbled, as people know who read the major expose done by Rachel Monahan in the Willy Week. We see that in their handling of the Boardman plant and their mercury emissions, which they tried to minimize falsely. And we see that in the way that they report numbers when it comes to diesel pollution, because they deliberately use a color coding chart that indicates that any level below what they label as 100 on the air quality index is safe, is not of any concern. Whereas we know that levels that are far lower than that are responsible for these long-term devastating diseases.
I think that's one of the main issues, is in how we're setting health standards in our city and our state compared to others around the nation. Our bar is too low, and it's not showing the value that we have in humans. When we're in another big piece, is they're not looking at cumulative effect. And when you're looking at those numbers, you're looking at one isolated sampling that does not take into effect the cumulative effect and all of those others over a long stretch of time. And quite honestly, there's just too little data. There is not enough diesel particulate monitoring happening. And really, it's coming to the people to take up that charge now.
Yeah, exactly, Bevan. They don't even have a station anywhere near my neighborhood of Brooklyn, and we have strong reason to believe that Brooklyn is a hot spot because of the rail yards, the locomotives that idle 24/7, and all the short-haul route trucks. They don't have a station anywhere within less than 3 or 4 miles of our neighborhood, and that just doesn't seem to make sense.
And you did have some monitoring of it, which show very dangerous levels. There's really a reason. There's a lot of smoke, and there probably is a fire. Is that correct?
Yes. We do have sensor data that has been taken by Dr. Linda George, environmental scientist from PSU, and it does seem to indicate that there is real cause for concern. That's actual sensor data and not just models.
Again, Bill Resnick for the Old Mole, talking to Bevan Byrne and Guy Berliner. We're talking about diesel pollution in Portland, its tremendous dangers for public health. And now we're going to switch gears a little bit. This is all, it's absolutely unnecessary. It could be dealt with very easily. Other states have done it. It's shocking, the power of the trucking, the low-end trucking industry in this state, who are sort of cleaning up their own, cleaning up and making money off of public health. buying the cheapest trucks and charging market rates and therefore doing well, and they seem to own the legislature, and even the Portland City Council is pretending to do something about it.
Exactly.
Let's talk about what could be done and what they're doing.
Yeah, let's talk about that, Bill. If you go back all the way to 2004, 14 years ago, the New York City Council under Mayor Bloomberg enacted a public law 77 under which they phased out over approximately 1 to 2 year period all dirty diesel from public contracts, and they mandated a best available technology standard for any diesel engines used in public contract work. Now, that was done, again, in 2004, whereas what we have today is a city council here in Portland, which is now considering enacting an ordinance in December, which will phase in a rule for contracts to use cleaner diesel technology, which is great, but over a 7 year period. And I'm not sure I understand how that happens. How do we wind up getting a 7 year phase in, whereas New York City has a phase in over apparently about a year?
Well, California also.
Yeah, California has enacted not just a contracting standard, but a statewide mandatory requirement to phase out all dirty diesel engines in their entire trucking fleet across the state. And that actually went into effect in 2015.
And as a result, they've lowered diesel emissions by 95%.
By 95%?
Yes. It's huge.
And modern emissions controls that are mandated on all vehicles by the EPA post-2007 will remove some 99-point-something percent of the diesel particulates. So the technology has been around already for decades. It's off the shelf.
And it can't be that expensive just to put in some new engines that are going to run for 1 million miles when you amortize the cost of it. It's like,
well, look, Bill, I mean, it's expensive because it costs money to overhaul a vehicle fleet, but it's pretty cheap relative to the costs that we're talking about in public health. Again, if you cite, for example, the Washington Post article that came out a week ago, just the costs to this entire country in terms of dementia care alone for older adults is on the order of between $200 and $300 billion every single year. For less than that cost, you could probably overhaul the entire diesel fleet of all of North America.
Yes, at minimum, and not to mention the human misery that it's causing.
Well, of course.
And the debility. People should come to the town hall, get active in the neighborhood association, and ultimately, there's a variety of ways of dealing with the problem. There's lawsuits could be maintained. There's the state. The city, though, is... We really are the biggest polluter in some ways. You have one final thing you want to say, Guy?
Yeah, I think that Bevan's project with her kids is a great example of what citizens can do about this problem, and it shows the power of citizens taking their own initiative.
Yeah, Bevan, tell us a little bit about it, and then tell us about the town hall.
Absolutely. I'm very excited about the class we're doing at Bridges. I'm working with students, a small group of students, and a friend of mine, Chris Eikamp, here locally, another air quality advocate, who has developed a way to put the power in citizen hands to be able to do diesel particulate monitoring. He's invented a low-cost, self-buildable model where people can monitor diesel particulate in their own homes and neighborhoods. What I'm doing with our kids in a class is we are actually building these sensors called sensor bots using recycled materials. We will be placing them at our school and at our student neighborhood homes, and then we will be tracking the diesel particulate monitoring live time, looking and comparing and contrasting the difference between our location in downtown Portland versus their neighborhood residential programs. We will be looking for anomalies within that. If we see big spikes, we will be looking for trends and what might cause that. And we're also looking at what we can do about it. So our kids will be writing state and city elected officials. They will be writing media outlets. They will be writing to TriMet or C-Tran, who idle their buses for hours in front of our playground every day. And they will also be writing the parents of our school, who idle their cars in our parking lot. And putting up signs that show, please turn your car off, small lungs at work. These are their ideas. And as they began to learn about pollution, where it comes from, and what they can do, they've already sprung into action. So I'm really excited partnering with Chris to be able to monitor this data. And it is real diesel particulate monitoring of particulates of PM2, 5, and smaller, which is difficult. And he's come up with a great way to do that, where citizens can, for a very affordable and easy way to do this, get data with the goal of being able to have citizens throughout the city doing this. Unfortunately, this is an example of it's not being done at the state city level, and citizens cannot wait 8 years for things like cleaner technology. So we're taking this into our hands, and we're doing what we can to provide the knowledge to the people in power and demand that they take action, because again, our elected officials work for us, and it's important to remember that. But it takes the people having being empowered with knowledge and being able to take action to motivate them to do so.
You know, why shouldn't 10% of the parents in public schools or other people in neighborhoods set up these monitoring devices in their home? It sounds like they aren't that super expensive to monitor.
They are not that super expensive, and the way he has it set up.
Yeah, I think it's something that we could be doing across the board. The way that the technology works, I think Bevan was going to mention, is that it reports back to a server, and so you can aggregate the data and build a map, a heat map of pollution levels everywhere, and you can figure out, as you said, Bevan, what the trends are, you can figure out what the hot spots are, and this is actionable information.
Yeah. So tell us about the town hall, and then we'll sign off.
So we're really excited about this town hall. The Brooklyn Neighborhood Association has really taken the charge of organizing this and joining a coalition of a citywide coalition of other neighborhood associations. And they've asked me to moderate this, so I'm really excited to be a part of it. We'll have expert presenters in legal and health areas and how diesel particulate is impacting us. And then we will have a panel of 7 elected officials and candidates from state, from city, and from the county. And we will be asking some tough questions and really trying to get a sense of where they are, what they can do, but also looking to hold them to the fire and accountable and working together to find some solutions, not just with themselves, but with the people who are experiencing the health issues daily from this problem. This, I call it one of the most paramount health crises in Portland.
Bevan Byrne, Guy Berliner, thanks for talking to us today.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity.